Join me on Tuesday mornings at 9 o'clock on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston for a show, The Other Side of Life.
90.1 KPFT FM HD2 Houston.
Hello, everyone. My name is Khalil, and you're listening to Interspectrum on KPFT Houston. And welcome back to another episode of Interspectrum. I'm your host, Khalil.
And I'm the other host, Basil.
We got a pretty good episode for you guys today, but first, a message from our sponsors.
No, we can't. For legal reasons, we can't say sponsors. We can say donators.
Well, the song of the day was Crushed by Devil Standard. This is the song that we were supposed to play last week, but I stamped my song on his face last week. So now this time, this is the song. Let us know how you guys feel about it. Did you all like this one or the last one more? But tell me about it, Basil. What's
So this song, I found it after I was listening to Sir Chloe. And as I was listening back to Sir Chloe songs, it just happened to feed back into this song, Crush. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty lit. I didn't realize it wasn't Sir Chloe until I looked. And I was like, this is not the same person. But the song is also a banger. So now it's in my playlist. I'm starting to listen to Double Standard a little bit more. I heard another song by them called Sweat.
Sweat, okay.
That was also another good song by them. But basically Spotify recommended it to me. So thank you, Spotify algorithm.
Thank you, Spotify algorithm. Not sponsored, by the way. Not sponsored. Yeah.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
Unless.
It's up to Spotify. But I think we can go ahead and get into our topics for today.
Yes, we can. Also, I do want to remind people that if you want to listen to the song of the week, you can on kpft.org if you want to listen back to it. Or if you're tuning in live, 90.1 KPFT Houston. Other than that, on Spotify, you just get the royalty-free version of what we can legally play. So,
what he said.
First topic, we'll talk about JoJo's.
Hey, we're back at it.
Because I've actually seen the actual JoJo's show, no thanks to this guy over here. But, yeah, I mean, I've seen the new Steel Ball Run episode, which honestly was amazing. It was really good.
What would you rate it? What would you rate that?
If I were to rate it as an episode, like as a JoJo's episode, or just like as an anime episode, like an anime episode of all time, or like in relation to JoJo's?
Give me both. I'll take both. I'll take give me one as a JoJo's episode, one as just like an anime episode.
Okay, as a JoJo's episode, I'm gonna give it, I want to say like a 9 out of 10, to be honest. Like I feel like it's really up there. In terms of, yeah, like,
I agree.
JoJo pacing, JoJo storytelling. It hits all the beats of a JoJo story. The only downgrade, I will say, is how Jonathan gets introduced into, like, getting intrigued by the spin.
Yeah.
Like, the initial reason for why he's intrigued by the spin is, like, what just happened. Like, it was very much like, we need plot for plot's sake, so let's just give him this reason.
They just forced it, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was, like, switched up inside the manga. Like, I wonder if there was, like, a more solid reason why Johnny was just like, my God, I need to touch his balls.
I don't know. That is, yeah, maybe there is a better reason in the manga.
Maybe the anime just didn't, like, want to, like, drag on. Maybe they were just, like, getting to the point.
That's what it felt like. It definitely felt like they were, like, cutting bits out just to, like, get to that point.
I have heard that the first part of Steel Ball Run, like, that first part that they showed in that first episode, what has some of the weirdest pacing, like, even in the manga. So maybe they were just, like, trying to get, like, the main plot points out of the way first, just to, like, get to the good parts.
Yeah.
I'm just excited that we're going to see D4C on screen eventually. That's going to be a trippy, like, I thought King Crimson was trippy. Man.
Yeah, that's going to be a trippy one for sure.
That's going to be a fun episode when he gets introduced.
And then also, I think the episode, and like just like general anime level, it's like an 8 out of 10. I mean, just because it's JoJo's, it sort of like knocks it down a little bit because JoJo's just has random. Like, okay, that sounds like a bad thing.
Sounds hater. But it's not. Well, okay, continue.
It sounds worse than what I mean by it. What I mean by it is like, because JoJo's already doesn't really make logical sense as an episode, most of the stuff that's happening doesn't, in like a grand scheme of storytelling, doesn't make sense. Like if I were to watch this episode for the first time, I'd be like, oh, they did some good things. Some of the animation was a little bit off. Like they like sometimes added like the 3D models for the horse, which was like pretty obvious.
Okay.
So sort of like took me out sometimes. But like as a story, it still works. Once I get over the initial hurdles of like it being a JoJo episode of like, why did he get so obsessed with the spin thing? Why did like this guy have this weird power that nobody else seems to have? Why is Dio using the world, but not really? Like, it's like all those things. Once I get over that, I'm in.
Mm.
So as a JoJo episode, since I'm already in, 9 out of 10. Mm. If I weren't in as a JoJo's episode, it's like, those things don't really line up. So like, it knocks it down a point. Cause like, as an anime in the genre of anime, if I were to grade it more objectively, it's like an 8 out of 10. Cause I have to like invest in the JoJo story for it to like make line sense. Up. Yeah, but when I'm invested, 9 out of 10.
Can I give a rebuttal?
Sure, this is an open forum.
Okay. Not a lot of anime makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like I guess in the world of JoJo, like, it's weird. That's the whole reason why it's called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It's a very weird series. But, I mean, in terms of anime, like, I think it's somewhat tame compared to, like, what's out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of Fate really doesn't make sense either. You know what I'm saying? Or we could really talk about Dragon Ball Super as well. You know, like, it's not, anime isn't really made to make sense, and that's okay. Now, what I will say is that even though this new re-edition of JoJo's Steel Ball Run is a reboot, quote unquote, reboot, remake kind of thing, you don't need to know who these characters are, but, like, it feels nice to know, or it feels like I'm part of the process now that, like, I'm watching it. Because knowing that Dio was moving around on his horse, darting back and forth, and I'm hearing the world sound effects, that did something to my heart, man. I was like, he doesn't even have to stand yet. You know, like, that was really cool. And also, like, was it Abdal?
Yeah.
Being a part of, like, the race, that was really cool, too. I was like, wow, like I was able to, like, be a part of that universe before, like, it had to reset. But I don't think I would, like, drop points because of that.
Well, yeah, I know. I guess for me, like, a 9 is, like, a pretty high up there scale. Mm-hmm. So, like, to reach a 9, you have to be, like, a lot of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Attack on Titan, like, that level is, like, a 9. Because as a general story element with the anime aspect, it all fits very well.
You know what? That makes sense, at least.
There's, like, certain aspects of the story that, like, don't line up, so it's not a perfect 10. Actually, sorry, take it back. Attack on Titan is a 10. Full Metal Alchemist is a 10. I misspoke on that. But, like, you know, there are certain elements where it still, like, breaks a little bit.
Mm.
So, for me, they round out to a 10. I mean, they're probably, like, a 9.8, but basically the 10 in my book.
Okay. And now, when you say it like that, that makes a lot more sense. Because when I think about, like, Attack on Titan and Full Metal Alchemist, they have, like, a lot better piece-by-piece storytelling. Instead of, like, JoJo's is kind of like, it's kind of like a villain of the week kind of thing for, like, Power Rangers almost, except, like, the theme stays, like, consistent. The fights are, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just all over the place a little bit. That's understandable. I'll knock it down to an 8 for that.
Yeah. So that's basically what I mean. Like, in the genre of anime, it's different, but in relation to the JoJo universe, definitely a 9 for sure. Animation wise and everything.
Okay. Well, I think that brings us to our activity.
Yes, I sort of wanted to do this activity because definitely in the JoJo's universe, it is very critical that the themes associated with each JoJo resonates with how the viewer is watching the show. So I figured, in the spirit of, like, new things happening, we sort of revisit the themes of all the old songs of all the old JoJo's and critique them in comparison with, like, this new JoJo theme.
Yeah.
Have fun, cause debate. So I see you already have your little Death Note out with the list, I'm assuming. Okay. So you can go down your list.
It's kind of weird because I didn't expect to go from, like, 1 to 7 in numerical order. I just looked at it just now. I was like, oh, snap. But I have Johnny at 1.
As, like, wait. 1 isn't, like, the best.
Actually, we'll go from 7 down, man.
I'm just for clarification. So 7 is the worst one.
Yeah, I'll explain. All right. I'm going to go from 7 down.
Okay, go for it, my bad.
All right. 7. Joseph.
Okay.
Joseph has the worst theme out of all 7 JoJo's. It sounds way too, like, modern for, like, the time that he's, like, taking place in. It's like the guy rapping from Persona. And when I found that out, now it's just, like, it bothers my soul. So, like, it's like it's Persona and, like, Part 2 JoJo's doesn't even take place in the same time. Like, anyways. Okay, I might change this now. But I had Jonathan at 6, but now I'm moving him down to 5. And in 6th place now is Jotaro.
Okay. That's, in my book, that's huge. So I'm going to let you talk it out, and okay, then we'll come
in
back
six,
to it.
Because in 6th place, Jonathan, or not, no, Jotaro's in 6th place. I don't like how overplayed Jotaro's theme was. even before I started watching JoJo's, I heard that theme like it was like it was part of every meme, it was part of every video I've ever seen. And till this day, actually, like it's one of the like main things inside like a gaming video or something like that. Like it's supposed to show like grit, optimism. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a very manly theme. I will say that, but I do think it doesn't really sound that good.
Yes, sir.
It's all right at best compared to like the rest of them that I feel like are a lot more creatively noisy. But yeah, that's just how I feel about Jotaro. It's
okay.
Nothing against the character himself, actually, but actually, I have my own gripes with Jotaro as a character, but we'll talk about that another day. But
okay, yeah.
In fifth place, I have Jonathan, the very first JoJo. Now, I kind of even forgot he had a theme until we watched that video earlier. But it's so, like, heroic. I don't know. It's very, like, it's so, like, Superman-y. I don't know. It feels very cool. It's... That's all I had to say about it. It sounds cool. Maybe it's because it's fresh to my ears, too.
I can agree with you on that.
Yeah, like, I haven't watched part one since, like, 2016. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to probably rewatch the moments where, like, those themes came up. But, like, it's better than Jotaro. Four, I have Josuke. This was a hard one for me. This was a really hard one for me. Because I was like, dang.
That's crazy.
I like Josuke. Part four is my favorite part. I love Josuke. Whenever he like gets in his serious moment, like that theme starts playing, and it punches. It punches very hard. But although it is good, I do not think it is better than the top three. And then the top three is Giorno is three. Kind of for the same reason why like I don't like Jotaro's theme, because it's like overplayed. But it's good though. It's a little too, like, earwormy. I don't know. Like, it does a little too much. So, it's at three. But I can recognize that it's a good theme. In second place, I have Jolene.
Okay.
She would be in first place if Still War Run didn't come out, like, a couple of days ago. But, man, Jolene's her theme, perfect. That whole season, though, I can't lie. I'm not really messing with it. I'm not messing with it. It's cool. It's decent.
Yeah.
But, like... It goes back to Jotaro at the end of the day. The whole list of all this, like everything from Jotaro down has Jotaro in it. Like Jotaro is part of every season after that. It's like,
basically, yeah.
I get tired of seeing his face, and he's not old either. Like he doesn't get any older after this. Like he just like, he looks the same. Even like Joseph looks like he literally cannot walk anymore. I'm pretty sure he's dead at this point. But like, Jotaro hasn't aged one bit. It ain't just that. He's stopping time so he doesn't age. Like,
oh, that's even, yeah, I was about to say, it happens when you're a marine biologist, you just stay young.
Nah, he's stopping time and finding like the, I don't know, bro. He's doing whatever they're doing in the White House. In number one, it has got to be Johnny Joestar, man. I'm sorry. It might be a recency bias thing. I had to come back to this.
I feel like it is.
You know,
7 years later.
Seven is crazy. Maybe about like three. Because if I start hearing it on like TikTok and Instagram, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to get tired of this eventually. Just like I did with all the rest of them. I'm tired of hearing Jolene's. Even I'm still watching part six as I'm watching part one, part seven. But like...
Right.
Like, Jolene's theme plays for when she's not even doing anything. Sometimes. Like, she'll just be standing there, and her theme would just... And she's like, I'm gonna find my dad's CD. Like, she ain't doing nothing. The theme plays at the end when she's not even there. It's her theme. It's her theme. So, it does get a little tiring, but I'm... It's still a good thing. It sounds good to the ears. So that's my list, man. That's my list.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you on like a few of these heavily. Because I put Jonathan, the first one, pre-time skip or pre-time reset as my last one.
Okay. See, that's why I had him at six at one point. But when I started listening, I was like, dang.
I mean, and also I just want to put it as like a side note. It's not because they're bad themes. Like, even though he's last on the list, his theme is still like an
eight. It's good. It's a good theme. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a bad theme. It's just like in comparison to the others, it's last for me. And I think it's because it's so different from all the other ones. Like, just in terms of, like, sound.
It's less upbeat than, like, everybody else's is. I will say that for sure. Like,
yeah,
his is more like a melodic, like, hero versus, like, everybody is like a, I don't know, a freaking Power Ranger. Like,
I mean, like, yeah, like, Jonathan's basically says, like, this guy is the hero. He's number one. Give this man a medal of honor when he gets home.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it sounds like. And for me, it's too obvious as a theme. It's like, oh, yeah, you could put that over any of them, really. And, like, it would still technically be, like, a hero's theme. So it just feels, like, a little bit more
I think I like it because it's so, like, I think I like it because it's so generic, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that.
That's crazy.
It's the only one that's, like, not the same, like, on the following that same path. And then they do that. That terrible job in part two.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the one right after. Like, after that one is Joseph. Like, Joseph is just...
Okay.
Technically...
That's a little crazy. I just feel bad. Like those would be switched.
Like, I think technically as a, like, a hero theme, it's bad. But, like, as a song, it's sort of good. Okay. So, like, it sort of, like, bumps up just, like, slightly above Jonathan's theme. Because it fits in, like, the general aspect of JoJo themes, I think, in a way. Like, it's, like, upbeat, it's whatever... But, like, it's also really more of, like, an upbeat song versus, like, just Joseph's song.
Mm.
So, it's, like, it's above generic, but it's below a theme. So, like, I give Jonathan's lower because it's generic, but I give Joseph's above because it's, like, unique. That's the reason for that.
All right, go ahead.
Then after that, I know you just put it as number one, and I think it's because it is recency bias. I put Johnny's as five.
What?
Yeah. On that one, it's just not, it's not hitting the zing for me. I don't know. I can't tell you what it is. Like, there's, it's just not hitting the, like, extra zing.
It's, like, hitting every, like, every shocker point, man. Like,
no, I can't, it's hard to, because I could tell it's a JoJo's theme. So, like, it fits the JoJo's theme. Like, it tells a JoJo's theme. But it doesn't hit, like, I feel like it takes a little bit of everything from all the above themes I'm going to list. Like, it takes a little bit of Jotaro's, it takes a little bit of Giorno's. A little bit of Joski's and a little bit of Jolene's. And it just sort of also takes a little bit of Jonathan's from the first one. Like, so it takes, it's like a culmination of all those themes put together. And so for me, it's like everybody's theme put together in a way. No, so for me, it sort of like degrades in that way.
That's hating. It sounds so good.
call it a hate what it is.
Perfect theme, man. That's something I walk down the hallway with my phone to my ear. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody is allowed to listen to this.
I think because it takes everybody's theme and puts it together. In my ears, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like I'm hearing a little bit of everybody.
Okay.
So, for me, or it sounds like it's taking a little bit too much from, like, respective JoJo's and putting it into a theme versus, like, being its own theme.
Maybe I need to listen to it again, bro. I'm gonna listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to detract it from your rating, but, like, that's how I hear it.
I'm gonna ask other people's opinions on this later.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We're gonna get a people's answer.
that would just be the poll.
Okay,
I think we can put that for the Spotify poll. We'll just
okay.
Which is your favorite JoJo's theme?
Okay, yeah, that sounds right.
But then after that is Jotaro's. I think it's sort of just like the defining JoJo's theme.
That's four?
Yeah, it's four. Okay. It's four for me.
Okay.
So, I think it starts the trend of, like, the JoJo's theme moving forward. It's good. It definitely has, like, the like, dark hero that Jotaro is. He's like, I don't care about this. And looks away as the explosion happens.
It's very, not punkish. What's the, like...
Like, gothic?
Is it punkish? It's very or rebellious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I guess that's what I meant by goth. Like, it's, like, very removed from society in a way.
It does have that sound to it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not gothic at all, but it's just that, like...
It's just got a rebellious sound. Like, is that, like, I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah, so it's good. It's a good one. But it is overplayed, so that's why it's also number four, I think, in that same way.
Okay.
After that is Giorno's. In the same way, it's unique, it's nice. It fits, like, the whole Italian / he's Dio's son, Golden Wind aesthetic. It's been a little bit overplayed, so in my mind, it's like, I've heard it enough to, like, knock it down a notch. But it is definitely up there in terms of originality and theme fitting. Then it's Josuke as number two, and then Jolene is number one.
Josuke at number two?
Yeah. It was honestly very hard between Jolene and Josuke. Like, I was like...
Really?
I was, like, on the verge of. But then when I heard the like Jolene, the da-na-na-da-na-na-da-na-da-na, like that.
That part is really good. Right, it is like,
yeah,
it tickles my ears. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. I mean, it's not a, I don't think it's a bad list. I think Jotaro is a little high.
I feel like Jotaro is a little low in yours. Like, that's I feel like he's like too low.
I don't really care that like he set the path. Like, I will say that song first was like what set like the rest of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of them kind of like sound somewhat similar. But like, I don't know, it's just like musically, it's just not like, I can't imagine myself listening to that in the car. You know what I'm saying? Everything from four down, I can listen to in the car and like, wow, this is a JoJo's theme.
Yeah. The crazy part is I have listened to JoJo's theme in the car.
Ew.
A lot. Sue me. I don't care. I'll admit it. JoJo's and Journos, I had like,
I remember Journos. I remember listening to Journos in the car.
That was
a really good time, man. But we're older now, you know what I'm saying? We're better human beings. I think Steel Ball Run goes like, it just dun, 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 dun. And this time around, it has like lyrics.
It's the first time
it has lyrics. It's that good.
Well, I mean, Josuke sort of has lyrics.
Oh, no, his does have lyrics. Well, okay, so we move Josuke up, Giorno down. Yeah, so Josuke is in third place. And then Giorno's in fourth.
Yeah, I'll compromise on that. I mean, that's like one place removed for me. I think the crazy part is Donnie being so high. And I feel like it is recency bias, like for the most part.
I just love the way it sounds, man. Like, it's, maybe it's the saxophones. Maybe it's the way he's singing on the track.
Like I said, I mean, it is good.
I got to see the opening.
That good.
Because that's what's really going to tie it all in together. If the opening's bad, but the theme's good, then I'm going to move Johnny down. Because, like, those have to go hand in hand together. But if the opening's good and Johnny's theme is good, and to be honest with you, I'm going to be real honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think this is Johnny's theme. I don't think this is his theme. I think this is just a theme for the show.
Maybe.
Because it's just Steel Ball Run. I don't think that's like, I know that's the event that's happening inside the like the series, but like, I don't think that's like, that doesn't represent him as a character.
Like, definitive. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Unless they're just, like I said earlier, like maybe they're just being lazy and just using this theme for everything now.
Actually,
I hope not, because Sandman has his own theme, and that, yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy was crazy. Dude, just him running the entire time.
It's wild, right? Like, I was like, I want him to win. He's running across the country.
In real life, I'd be like, that guy, I don't care what happens, I need him.
He needs to win. Huh? You need him.
Team for whatever. Pause.
Okay.
I need him to win.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
For sure. But let us know what your order is.
Other than that, I feel like there's no real way to like transition into this other than saying it. The Artemis 2 mission is still greenlit to go for April 1st.
Oh, nice.
I think they rolled out yesterday. So the 21st is when they rolled out the rocket back to the... Why am I playing up? They rolled it back out onto the launch pad.
Okay.
So it's on the launch pad now. So ideally with no further complications on like the dry rehearsals and what rehearsals that they do, it should still be good for April 1st.
Yeah. So last time we talked about it, you were saying that like this might not happen anymore.
Okay. I might have slightly over-exaggerated, as media people do. My bad. Pause. But what Artemis 2 is going to be, it's not going to be the mission to put people on the moon. So that's like definitively not happening on this mission.
Okay.
Yeah, so what this mission is going to do is basically just do like a flyby trajectory of the moon, just to like make sure that like the systems of like the boosters igniting at the right part, the like weight of the crew going into space is going to work. Like, the modules that are going to put the lunar lander into place when they get near the moon is going to work. All that stuff. They're basically just going to do that.
Okay.
For this mission. So they're just going to, like, send them up. They're going to get pictures of the moon, essentially. and be like, wow, look at that. And then they're just going to fly them back.
So was this ever going to be like a moon landing, or did they just change their objective?
That was the plan. They just changed the objective because of the fact that the last two attempts, essentially they just had like major complications, unforeseen major complications. It's like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
So rather than risking it all to like send it and land on the moon and then have a complication where it's like, maybe this other complication happens, but we can't see it because we haven't like tested it at that level yet. Like they haven't tested it going in the space around the moon and then making sure like all those systems are still working. I mean, if they're having complications on Earth, who knows what's going to happen when they actually get into space. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, instead of like risking it all on this one mission, why don't we just like take it in steps? We'll do this mission to make sure that the system works to get to the moon and see whatever the complications might arise and how that might work. Then they'll do one where they'll like put the lunar module into its position. Like they'll assemble it in space and sort of like make sure that the trajectory works for where it's going to land, and then basically take that back. And then the third mission, Artemis 4, they'll actually like land on the moon to make sure that works. So then they'll basically do the flyby, then they'll do the test with the lunar module, then they'll do the test of it actually landing.
Okay.
So the actual landing will happen 2 years from now in like 2028.
Okay.
The like lunar module test should happen in 2027.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, dope. And that's like, that's where they're staying. What, on the moon, or are they coming back?
They should come back after they land on the moon. It should just be like establishing some key, I guess, moon base essentials and some like basic experimentation when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to stay there for longer than a couple of days, I believe, for the Artemis 4 mission.
But they're staying on the moon
for a little bit. Yeah.
Nice.
Like, I don't think they're going to be there for like more than a couple of days. If that, if anything, it might just be like a couple hours, to be honest. Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Imagine spending the night on the moon, man.
I'll tell you one thing. It'll be dark and it'll be cold.
Hey, but she on the moon, though. That's like true. 8 people who've ever done that.
That's true. Yeah, it's a very select few.
And then getting to spend the night on it? Funny.
Yeah, actually, I don't know the details of the Artemis 4 mission, because since they pushed it back, they haven't really released all the details. But that's the one that they plan to put them on the moon.
Okay.
I know that. So I don't know if they're going to, like, I don't know if they're going to spend the night on the moon. This would be the first attempt to be near the moon since, like, the 70s or the 80s. Like, it's been a while.
Oh, so this is still, like, a monumental moment. This is great. I'm excited.
I am, too. Yeah, I'm very happy. Happy to get people back to the moon, back in space, exploring. As we should. I feel like there's a lot of stuff in space that, like, helps with a lot of stuff back on Earth. And I think also just like the pursuit of something greater than yourself, even at the risk of whatever might be out there, is always a noble goal. That's what like people that explored the open oceans did. And I feel like space is the same thing, just on a much more vaster scale.
Much more vaster scale.
Yeah. And a longer time. Like to get to Mars is going to be 6 months.
That's crazy.
And that's 6 months at the right time. Like you can't just like send it whenever. Like you have to wait for the right time and then send it to get there in 6 months.
6 months on a plane, pretty much, a very cramped plane. Whew.
That's going to be the crazy part.
Put me in, like, cryostasis. No TikTok?
Yeah, give me some Xanny.
No TikTok, bro. You telling me I can't doom scroll on the Artemis 1?
Yeah, that would be... No doom scrolling.
No doom scrolling, bro. I can't.
No, working out, basically. Like, you're just going to be, like, so cramped you can't really, like... work out or anything.
Dude, you're gonna be like a twig.
Yeah. And if you think about it, it takes like, I think it's like an 8 to 11 minute delay for transmissions to go from Earth to Mars. So like if you're like, hey, we made it to Mars, it's gonna be like a 20 minute delay before you actually get like a nice job.
And what if you get eaten by like a Mars worm or something?
Well, Lisa Al-Ghaib is what I can tell you. Couldn't be
me. It's gonna take 8 minutes for them to find out. That's gonna suck. Hopefully there's no such thing as Mars worms.
I mean, so far there isn't. So, like, so far we're safe.
Yeah, because no one stepped foot on this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even, like, the lunar... I guess it's not lunar. The Martian rovers and stuff that have landed there.
No, it's like, what if they smell like humans? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, like, made...
Oh, it's like, they know it's organic.
Yeah, it's like, it's not... The Mars rover is, like, an inorganic thing. But, like, what if it was, like, an organic thing moving around on top of Mars' surface? Oh,
Martian vampires.
They're gonna, It's like the big worm from SpongeBob. The Alaskan bullworm.
Yeah. The Martian bullworm.
That's going to be scary. Oh, my God. But
we'll be fine when we get there. But you know who isn't fine?
Who's fine? Who's not fine?
Blueface.
Blueface, baby.
Super Hot Fire.
Back it up.
I feel like they're both not fine. And if you don't know, recently there was Aiden Ross, a kick streamer, formerly Twitch streamer, who held a boxing match.
Yeah, it's called Brand Risk Boxing, which is like such an ignorant name, but
but media literacy at its finest.
He basically, Aiden Ross is he's a kick streamer, Twitch streamer turned kick streamer, who he's kind of gone off the deep end. I don't really know what he's like really up to anymore, but I do know that he owns this boxing thing, and he basically owned this brand risk boxing. He basically like gets people who are brand risk. I mean, not just brand risk, but like just you'll have like people who kind of fell off or people who are like banned off of Twitch or something. There's a lot of different types of people who end up fighting inside the ring. But last week he had brought on a couple set of people, but the most notable ones were Blueface versus who did he fight?
Chibu. Yeah, okay, yeah.
He fought Chibu. Fun fact about Chibu: one of my friends and him are best friends, so I know Chibu twice removed.
Okay. I don't know why that's so funny. That's
so dumb. And the second fight, or the main event, was Chibu versus Blueface. But the one that I really want to talk about was the Super Hot Fire and
Gypsy Crusader.
Now, Super Hot Fire and Gypsy Crusader, they both have internet history, just kind of just being around for a while. Gypsy Crusader is kind of like, they're like light and dark, almost like in the like in the most like non-racist way. Like, I mean that, like, like it's like evil. It's like evil and good, black and white. Like, I don't.
The light one racially is the dark one, like socially and spiritually.
Yeah, but Super Hot Fire, he's been on the internet for a long time, at least since I've been like actively using it. He used to do like these little, I don't even know if they were skits, honestly. Sometimes they feel a little real, but it was like battle rap, but he wasn't like actually rapping. That was like the joke. He was like saying stuff, and then everybody in the crowd would lose their mind. So he's been on the internet for a long time, racking up millions and millions of views over time. But he's kind of like not falling off, but you know what I'm saying? Like his style of YouTube is just not, it doesn't hold up in 2026 anymore. But yeah, I think he still makes videos. That's just not as good as they used to be.
Yeah.
And then this Gypsy Crusader guy, man, look, he's just racist. And unfortunately for some reason he has a fan base for it. And it's not like a funny racist either. It's not like, I don't know, like
it's competitive racism.
Yeah. It's like, he actually hates black people and like, he means it. Like, this isn't like, what was it, Gabriel Iglesias or like Jackie Chan getting on stage or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is like,
I the best way I can compare it to is like, it's competitive racism with like the whole right wing red pilled ideology behind it. Like it very much fits that like pipeline of, yeah, I think these views because I think in some way I'm superior.
It's like the Aryan race like theory. You know what I'm saying? Like, he genuinely thinks he's like better.
Yeah, gypsies can go to hell. Jews are like the worst people.
Yeah,
like all those type of things are the things that fits in his wheelhouse of like talking about. And I think he's also like a political commentator. Well, commentator, and like he does it online, but he also technically does like political rants.
Yeah, but all in all, he's a nobody. He's just racist. So obviously, Aiden Ross, being the weirdo he is, he set them up on a fight, enabling this stuff. And although Super Hot Fire did a good job, I think he went all 12 rounds or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He went super hot fire with all 12 rounds with this guy. Now, I can't lie to you. I hate the dude, but Gypsy Rose is built. He's built. He got a crazy body on him. And super hot fire is like a small, chubby man.
As I was doing the research, I realized that Gypsy Crusader was also like a previous, I think it was like a Muay Thai boxing fighter. Like a disgraced Muay Thai boxing fighter. Okay.
So like, what is this like? What is that matchup? That was like, he was set up to, anyways, Super Hot Fire ended up losing. And Aiden Ross is sitting there like, oh no. I guess this is the answer, guys. This white versus black, who won? It's like, why would you even say that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you're enabling this. This is weird. Yeah. You're being weird. And people were saying it was rigged. And he was like, no, like, Florida commissions did this. Like there's no way it was rigged. Like, this is the same people who UFC use. Bro, I don't believe it's rigged. But, like, why would you set this up? This is, like, an unfair fight. This isn't even, like, two heavyweights in the same, like division. This is, like, a lightweight and a heavyweight. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is crazy.
It's a complete mismatch.
He's pushing a weird narrative, dude. That's like, it's honestly odd to me.
Yeah, I think it's also like just weird because even, I mean, I know it wasn't obvious because there's technically still like weight the same, but like the Blueface Chibu fight, I feel it was also the same thing. It's like, you got Blueface who's like,
it's a weird matchup. Like, it's a weird matchup.
4 or 5 inches taller than him, I think. Chibu is like, if they're both the same weight, it's because Chibu is like 50 inches wider. He's like heavy. It's like not the same category of weight, you know?
Blueface is a lot, he's taller than Chibu, but like Chibu was a big guy. And he still is. He lost a lot of weight since I last saw him. But he's lost he's still a heavy dude.
Not to like fat shame or anything, but like his body was like flopping around when he was getting punched. Like it was still like movement outside of just like normal muscle mass moving around.
Yeah. Now imagine like all that coming at you at once, man. Like he pushed him out the ring at one point.
He just like bodied him.
How is that even legal?
Just sumoed him basically.
ref was just like staring. He didn't even care. And these refs, the whole thing, it sucks. It's just the whole like, regardless of the fights, the whole event sucks. Like, brand risk boxing is really stupid. I don't understand how people sit there and just watch that stuff all day.
I mean, I was actually surprised when Chibu won. I was like, whoa. Because he got, like, a few good hits on it, but I never felt like he was, like, definitively winning a lot. Like, I feel like he just got, like, one or two good hits, and then, like, after that, he just, like, somehow won. I was like, okay, well, I don't know how to feel about this. But then also it was like, I think afterwards, Blueface didn't get the money he was promised after the fight. Cause he's supposed to get like a couple $100,000. Let's be clear. So like decent money for like participating in the tournament, but like he didn't get his payment. I think still, like I don't think he's getting any of the money from the tournament or the boxing match.
Aiden is suing him now.
Yeah. I think he's suing Aiden.
Or it's the other way around. I think it's vice versa because he didn't want to wear. Maybe it might be like because Aiden said on Twitter that he also didn't wear the brand wrist like
merch,
boxers.
Hmm. So, then I might have misread that,
and that was part of his contract.
Suing Aiden Ross. Okay, so from what I've read. So basically, Blueface is owed $300,000 or so-ish dollars for fighting, which he didn't really get. But Aiden Ross is countersuing basically because he didn't wear the like brand risk merchandise. So they're then suing him basically for like breaching the contract for a couple $100,000. So it's like a backup. It's like I wasn't getting paid, but it's like also you didn't like fulfill your contract. So because you didn't do it, we're gonna sue you for the money.
That's crazy.
Just like, okay, I don't really know what's going on. Also, I'm so out of the like kick streamer game. It's like I don't care. Kick is a brand risk.
You don't need to be
like,
in it of itself. In itself, yeah. Like, I will say, there's people on Kick that like are genuinely trying to do, like, make a living off of this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not trying to, like, bash all kick streamers. It's not always a kick streamer. It just so happens to be kick streamers that end up doing it's weird, like, stuff.
All squares are parallelograms, but not all parallelograms are squares.
That's what I just said. That's what I said. Okay.
But I feel like kick is associated with all the, like, odd-shaped parallelograms. And people are being like, no, I'm a square, I swear. It's like, dude, you're hanging around with the parallelograms. Like, you're going to get confused sometimes. Like, it's like...
Like, why are you on kick if you can stream? But there's some people who, like, I was a victim of it. But what's it called? I ended up streaming the March Madness on stream one day on Twitch. And I was banned for, like, I think it was a week.
Yeah.
I had no choice but to stream on kick, man. It's just had it's how the cookie crumbled.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But I mean, it's like that.
And I did get a lot of viewers on kick for streaming March Madness. It was almost like, it was a disgusting amount of viewers. I had like 6 viewers on Twitch, while I had like 98
on kick. But I mean, I feel like that's like the... It's like the weird appeal of kick. It's like the degenerate. It's like the jackass of streaming. Like, jackass is all sort of like, I don't know how to say.
Are you allowed to say that?
I'm talking about the show. I'm not talking about like somebody that is. I'm talking about the show called.
That works.
It's technically not a bad. Anyways, we'll play with the legal rabble of it afterwards. Ass is not a... You can say ass. Okay. Like, it's like you can say damn. You can say ass.
What? Okay, so what counts as a curse word on the radio?
I'll send you the list after. I'll send you the...
I've been holding back.
I'll send you the FCC list. Like, and also, we're technically playing at 2 a.m., so we can sort of get away with a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
But, like...
Oh, nice.
I feel like kick is, like, the jackass of streaming. Like, it's very much, like, the degenerates...
You said it again.
...of the internet. Gathering together, and everybody's like, look at the degeneracy, it's so cool. Which, like, I mean, it works. Like, degenerates gotta live somewhere, and they have to do all these crazy stuff that they think about. But then again, when somebody like Ice Poseidon says the N-word or something, or like does some weird streaming thing, it leads to a path. Aiden Ross is like gambling, that leads to a path. So, like, and gambling is money. If I'm saying, like, hey, we should give back to the environment on Twitch, like, that might not include giving me money to do that. Like, that money isn't going to be funneled into me to make more money. It's going to be funneled into something else. But if I'm like, hey, give me money so I can gamble, and the gambling money makes me more money.
And they're already all sponsored by gambling already. Like, they're getting free money from the gambling site to make money on the gambling site. For people to watch them make money on gambling sites so they can pay money to watch them. Lord, man. Where are we at, man? Get me off.
I think that's the thing. That's like just the feedback loop of... Which I think is like the good and the bad thing of like the internet. It's like there's a lot of stuff where it's just like this niche. Like degeneracy feeds into degeneracy, which like money makes money.
Yeah, unfortunately. And that's pretty much what Aiden Ross said after he was getting a lot of like drama about like what happened at the Brand Risk event.
Yeah,
that's what he had said. It was just basically like people are going to watch it. I don't care. That's a wild thing to say, right?
Yeah,
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care if I'm pushing a narrative or what. It's going to make me money. Oh my
God. Yeah, and I feel like that's like the thing.
Dude's a loser.
And I think this also feeds into like the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is also sort of kind of as a meme of the week. I think in this capacity, because like I've seen a lot of people talking about like my niche viewing experience where they watch something and it's very catered to them. So it's like, I mean, for me, it'd probably be like space news and anime plus video games about Rocket League and stuff like that. Like, but so like, it's very much my niche. Like there's nobody else or not nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, I'm cutting that part out just so you know. just so you know, there's not many people that fit into liking space plus playing Rocket League. Plus, like, skateboarding, plus, I don't know, some other thing. Like it's my very unique community of people.
Yeah.
Almost, it might also just be me. Like, there's not Like, am I not actually?
That's uniquely you. You got your own little niche. It's just one person.
Yeah. Man. So like, but I feel like that's been the trend that's been popping around recently. It's like, oh, my niche. You know, I like to read Harry Potter fanfic, and I like to crochet, and I also like to, I don't know, skydive on the weekends.
That's just you. That's just you. That's not a. That's not a niche. That's just
that's
you.
Not. That's not me. That I made those things up. That's not me. Don't. No. No. No.
You just named out your hobbies. That's not. That's just. It's not a niche. That's not a category. You're just.
No. I'm wagging my finger.
You just told me what you like to do.
Wagging my finger. No. But you know, like, but like, everybody's trying to find their like niche community. Like, they're trying to be super specific too. Like, the more specific, the better.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one hell of a niche, man. That's really niche. That's super. You might be uber niche.
All six of those things weren't me. I said three. The other three were an example of somebody else.
I'm hearing you, bro.
But yeah, but I'm just saying.
Nicheness.
I don't know. I feel like this also fits into that niche demographic. Like, Kick has a niche of people that like to essentially feed into like this red-pilled, right-wing sort of ideology.
I just refuse to believe that everybody that was watching Aiden Ross, because he's averaging the same amount of numbers from Twitch to Kick.
Yeah.
Which makes zero sense. Because the way this man is acting, I refuse to believe that majority of the people that watched him is messing with this. Regardless if there was kids or not. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a sense of righteousness in everybody. My fault.
Right.
But there's a sense of righteousness in everybody, right? So I refuse to believe that the numbers that he averages on Kick is even like real. Like, it's definitely inflated for sure.
And I think also with that, like, I think there's a lot of stuff on Kick where like the numbers are almost like bot inflated in a way. Like, I think there are people that are just like mm-hmm. even if Kick isn't giving the bots, like, people are making accounts to make bots to like add viewership and money because then they can use that for leverage. And that's more acceptable on that site. So it's like, well, if the game is get viewers to make money and I make bots to get viewers and people can't tell the difference if it's real or not because they just see the numbers, well, you're winning. Like,
it doesn't matter.
That breeds the community of Kick to be like that system of you sort of do whatever it takes to make the money versus like other sites like Twitch, which I feel like is sort of trying to remove that, but they have their own weird thing. Like, I feel like a lot of like, not to hate on the females, but I feel like a lot of like female streamers get like added leverage in their streams or like in responses to like support from the Twitch staff because I think Twitches are like slight gooner degenerates.
There was a moment on Twitch where like there was no way you were growing without having bots on your channel.
Right.
Like, there was like a year and a half period where it's like if you weren't like paying for bots, there's no way you was going to do this. Kai Cenat, I promise you, there is no way he should have been where he is right now. I do think that he should be where he is. No, I don't say he doesn't deserve his flowers. I do say that it would have taken him longer if he didn't buy bots. I'm well aware of a lot of people who buy bots. You can see it. If you look at their member, the viewer list, it tells you every single viewer that's a part of your stream. There's a lot of people that don't have real names in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, the names on the account would be like Z5896R23.
Right.
I don't spell nothing. That's not what, no one's name. They don't have a profile picture. That's a bot.
I mean, I feel like Twitch has moved away from that, but I think Kick is like, enhance that type of behavior. And that's the way that people make money. So it's like, well, money's making money. So don't care, didn't ask, plus L plus ratio, plus you're broke, plus you're dirty. Get off my lawn. Like,
my God. What a crazy combo.
So like, I mean, but I feel like that's like the difference. And I feel like that's like the niche that's developed there. And I think people find their own niches, which I think makes it harder to actually find enjoyment in what you're consuming in terms of media. Because you're like, I need this very specific thing to fit this very specific hole. So if that doesn't work, then it's like, I'm not watching it. But enough people watch it or they compromise on it that they're like, well, this fits part of my niche, so I'll watch it. and then it just feedbacks into a monstrosity known as Kick, in my personal opinion.
You ain't saying nothing wrong, bro.
But, yeah.
You ain't saying nothing wrong.
There's a lot of niches out there. It's just like everybody's having their own. And we sort of talked about it earlier, but it's almost like everybody's trying to be slightly autistic.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, bro. It's like nothing. Everybody wants to like have their own niche, like that small individual niche, because they want to be like, quirky is not the word. They want to feel like they're a part of something.
Yeah.
Sometimes like that's what people are chasing. So like everybody in my generation just wants to be like part of somebody else's niche, even if they aren't that. Like, oh, I'm a little quirky. Oh, I might be a little autistic. No, you're not autistic. Well,
but I mean, I also think like I feel like with the growing need to fit into a niche, I think in a way autistic people, like, their niche is that they're very like hyper obsessive with something. And I feel like when you're in a niche, if you get hyper obsessive about it, that means you're like really committed to the cause almost. Mm. So if you say you're like autistic in this one category, then it means you're like overly committed to the cause. So like, oh, I know everything about, I don't know, skateboarding. That's my niche. That's my autistic obsession. So like, I'm really in the community because I know everything about it. It's like, dude, just say you like the skateboard. Like, you don't have to be all in it. You don't have to know all the like 70 yeah. tricks that people invented in the 70s to the 90s to be like a part of the community.
Now you can still learn.
Yeah. Like, right now, all you can do is an ollie. Congrats. That's nice.
There's no way you know everything about skateboarding.
Oh, you like Warhammer 40K? Perfect. You don't have to have the whole history of Warhammer 40K. Just say you like painting the little action figures. That's your obsession with Warhammer 40K. Yeah. You don't have to be like fully in to be in the community. Or maybe your involvement is that you paint the figurines and that's it. Like, but you're still a part of the community in that sense. You're just not like lore master number 750 about the Warhammer 40K universe. That's okay.
Exactly.
You're perfect as you are. You don't have to be the most knowledgeable and then also be the most invested. Like, you're fine at any level of investment. So, I don't know. That's sort of meme of the week. Just talking about niches. I think niches can have the good of like being in a community, but I see that it's now feeding into the whole negative feedback loop of like trying to be better than, and then also using that to like leverage money and like the Kick standard of making money personally.
Yeah, bro. It's just weird. I think all those people are weird. Anyways, I don't want to rant. We had a great episode today, man.
It's a good one.
Go out there, drink some water, get a snack after this episode. And
yeah. I remember you're,
I don't know, find a niche.
Find a niche. But don't be so committed that you're like,
Don't be weird.
I'm better.
Don't be weird. Alright. I'm Basil.
I'm Khalil.
And we'll talk to you next week.
What you think?